We're holding on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, three lines from the end of the narrow lines. The Mishnah said, Ketana v'cherushas, Chola. We had a case where a man was married to two women. One's a Ketana, the other is a Cherushas. Now we said, both of them, their marriages are not fully valid. Daraisa, the Ketana, because she's not able to accept Kedushin on her behalf, and the Cherushas, because she doesn't have Das. So now what we said was, that the bia of one of them does not patter the other one, because each one, so that's what we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, is each one has kind of a different relationship with the husband. So Amar Rav Nachman, Ashkachte l'Rav Ada bar Ava u'l'Rav Chana Chasne, I one time found Rav Ada bar Ava and his son-in-law, Rav Chana, de yasvi v'kam makvu akvosa b'shuka de pumbedisa. They were sitting and makvu akvosa, which we'll explain in a second what that means, in the marketplace of pumbedisa. Rashi's first explanation is makvu akvosa, is that it means that they were gathering Talmidim around them. They were discussing something in Torah, and Talmidim were gathering around them. Rashi mentioned something similar in his Pirush on Bereshis, on the Pasuk, V'lo Yikas Amim, in Yaakov's Bracha to Yehuda. He explains that the word Yikas Amim means that the nations will gather to hear what Mashiach has to say, and he relates it to our Gemara over here. He says a slightly different girsa. He says Akhu Makhasa with Hayes rather than Vavs, but still he says it means the same thing. Rashi's second explanation over here, and also Tosfos, is it means that the word makvu akvasa has to do with kashas. So it means they were asking kashas to each other. And Tosfos brings also someplace in a Mishnah elsewhere where we find a similar lashon to be used of asking a lot of kashas. So they were doing that. They were gathering people around them, or they were asking and answering a lot of kashas to each other. Va'amri. So they were saying concerning our Mishnah. This that we're saying, that the bia of one of the two tzores, the ktana and the cherushas, does not pater the other. They said, that would apply only if she fell to yibum from a brother who was a pikeach, meaning in other words, that the husband of these two wives himself was a pikeach. Was a normal person who was not a cheresh. Deloyat in an ibik tana nichale ibik cherushes nichale. We don't know which one did he prefer. Like which one, in other words, is more his wife than the other one. And therefore, you could say like each one has a different kind of relationship with him, and therefore, like one is more his wife than the other. But we don't know which. Either we could say
either the ktana or the cherushes.
We could say ibik ktana nichale the asiel klaldeya. He could prefer the ktana because fine, right now she's a ktana, but eventually she's going to become a gdola. She's going to have das as opposed to the cherushes is generally not ibik cherushes nicha the gdola hi uvaspiyehi. Or maybe he prefers the cherushes because after all she is a gdola. She is an adult. She is more capable of having bia now. I mean the ktana is physically capable, but bia with a gdola is the more normal thing to do. So maybe therefore he'd prefer her. If the husband is a pikeach, then we have that suffix. Avol nafla me'achiv cheresh, but Rav Ada bar Ava and Rav Chana were saying that if the two women were married to a cheresh, and now the question is, what does the brother, the pikeach, do? Then vade b'cherushes nichale. Then we would say that for sure the cherush would prefer the cherushes, and therefore that she's more his wife than the ktana. The bas biahi or bas minehi, because after all she is capable of bia, being an adult. She's also his kind because they both were cherushim, and we would figure that he would more prefer somebody who's like him. So therefore, so in that case, they were arguing that the rule of our Mishnah would not apply in that case. If now the Yavam, who's a Pikeach, now does Yibum with the Cherushes, then it would pater the Ketana, they were arguing. Because the Cherushes...
Why would he prefer a Cherushes?
The Pashtus, because since they're both Cherushim, it means like they have something in common, they can communicate with each other using remises, with sign language or whatever, right? However, Rav Nachman says, I said to them, no, the suffix would be even if they were married to a cheresh. It's not necessarily a given that the cheresh would prefer a chereshes. Adraba, you might say the cheresh might prefer a non-chereshes, a pikachas, because then she can help him communicate with the out. He can communicate to her in sign language, and she in turn can communicate clearly with the outside world. So therefore, you never know. Even in that case, you could argue that he would prefer the katana, who at least will eventually get full das, over the chereshes. So you really can't tell. So, and that's halacha. So now the question is, ketzad takanasan. Now, given that our Mishnah is saying that you can't do bia with one of them, the ketana or the chereshes, and pata or the other one. So what do we do? Now we can't. Now Rashi points out that the question is as follows: you can't. Now let's consider you can't do chalitza to the chereshes. Which if you did, then they would both be potter because as we learned a few times in the last couple of blah, you can't do chalitza with a chereshes. You can't do, if you do yibum with the chereshes, fine, that works on a temporary basis. You're still going to have to do chalitza to the katana when she gets older. Meanwhile, what happens when you do that, then you have a problem that now once you do chalitza to one wife from a household, to one of the brother's wives, then the other one becomes also to him. So the result is that now the chereshes whom he did yibum with is now going to become also to him.
But he already did yibum with her.
That doesn't matter, because the yibum was only dirabonim.
He did with the
chereshes, but nevertheless, that whole concept existed only dirabanan because her marriage to her husband was only dirabanan. The ketana's marriage was also only dirabanan. So in other words, be doing bia with the chereshes does not completely satisfy the zika. Where then we would, if it did, then we would say in achrei aklum, if you were to have relations afterwards with the ketzara. If we weren't dealing with a ketana and a chereshes over here, if we were dealing, let's say, with two pikchos, two gdolos pikchos, then yes, once he did yibum with one, and if then he goes and does bia with the other, nothing would happen. It's just plain znus.
So says yibum with the chereshes, what happens after that?
So normally what happens with the yibum after the chereshes is that's it. They remain married. If he wants to give her a get, then he can do that, because a get doesn't require her das. But if you want, the question is my takanosan, the kates of takanosan. The question is, if we want to have it that both of them should be mutter to marry others, then we want them to be able to stay. We want them to be able to stay married to one of them. Then what can we do? So amar of chista amar av, exactly that. That there really isn't a way to stay married to one of them. Rav Chista says he's going to have to marry the chereshes as yibum. Then he divorces her with a get. Now he doesn't maybe have to right away. Rishonim talk about maybe he only has to when it comes time to do the chalitza with the ketana. So if the ketana is, let's say, 10 at the time, and when we're going to have to wait 2 years until she's old enough to do chalitza, then fine, he's able to stay married to the chereshes for 2 years. But in any case, at some point, he's going to have to divorce her with a get. Uktana tamta nachatagdo v'tachlitz. And as far as the ketana, we're going to have to wait until she becomes bas mitzvah, and then she can do chalitza. Now we've covered everything. So now the chereshes is, so now at this point, the chereshes is free to marry anybody else, because now she's had yibum done and a get cancels out. Once yibum was done, then they're regularly married, and then therefore it's dissolved by a get like anything else. So now she's free to remarry. The ketana, once she has chalitza, once she's old enough to have chalitza, she's also free to remarry. But it's true that neither of them is going to be allowed to stay married to the yavam long term.
But why is it, so you're saying it's better to do yibum and get?
So we're saying,
just forget about her and just do chalitza.
No, because the problem is, we said if we do chalitza to the ketana, then the chereshes is stuck. There's nothing that we can do.
Do chalitza with the cheresh.
You can't do chalitza with the cheresh. You can't say the words.
Oh, okay.
Right. So Omer of Chista. So now Rav Chista says, and this we're gonna have to keep our head on straight for this next piece of Gemara, because it can get a little bit hairy. So we'll see what we can do. So Omer of Chista, Shma mina kasava Rav. This statement that Rav just said, that this is how we have to do things, that shows that Rav holds like this. There's two different ways of looking at when we say the marriage of the chereshes or the marriage of the ketana is not a full marriage. There's two ways of understanding it. One way is called knuya umshuyeres, that she is acquired by her husband, but it's not a full acquisition. There's still something left over. where there's room for another kedushin or another zikr or whatever to take effect. The other way of looking at it is knuya v'ena knuya, which means that it's a suffix whether it was a kinyan or not. So now Rav Chista is saying like this. Tosfos explained that Rav Chista knew that of the two, the Ketana and the Chershis, one of them is one and one of them is the other. But without Rav's statement, it wouldn't be clear which one is which. Now, with Rav's statement, it becomes clear. And by the way, the explanation is also that it shows that he doesn't necessarily agree with what Rav Nachman said a few lines earlier. Rav Nachman had said a few lines earlier that it really depends which one he would consider to be his primary wife. Now Rav Chista is saying nothing like that. It's an objective thing. One of them is Knuya Umashiyaras. The other one is Knuya Ve'ena Knuya, and we have to figure out which one is which. Based on Rav's statement, Rav Chista is saying, based on Rav's statement that I just quoted about Ketzad Takanosan, demonstrates which one is which. Shma Minakasava Rav, we see then that Rav holds Chershis Knuya Umashiyaras. When it comes to the Chershis, we say the first one. It is a Kinyan. There's no suffix on it. However, there's something left over of the Kinyan that was incomplete, that it didn't fully take effect. Ketana, knuya ve'ena knuya. Whereas when it comes to the ketana, it's rather that we treat it as a suffix, whether it's a complete kinyan or not. Now, why don't we say that both of them are one or both of them are the other? So the Gemara is going to teach out over here. So the Gemara actually is going to deal with how we know it's not the other way around. But first, Rashi deals with how we know that it's not both of them Knuya, how we know that's not both of them Knuya Umashiyaras or both of them Knuya Ve'ena Knuya. So first of all, if it was both of them Knuya Umashiyaras, then we would have, what did we say in our Mishnah? That if the Yavam does Bia with one of them, if the Yavam does Yibum with one of them, it does not patu the other one. If both of them were Knuya Umashiyaras, then it should, because they're both on the same level. You also can't say that both of them are Suffolk, because Rashi points out the next Mishnah is going to talk about a case. What if he did have relations with the Ketana and then with the Chershis? So then we said that then the Mishnah goes on to say, Pasal as a Ketana, that then he passes the Ketana from doing Yibum in the future, and vice versa if he were to have relations with the Chershis and then the Ketana. Now, if we were to say that both of them were Suffolk, then we would say whichever one he had relations with first would be able to stay married to him, Mamonafshech, as the Gemara itself is going to point out this Mamonafshech soon. Because if you think about it, if we're saying that there's a suffix, if both of them are an equal suffix, then if the first one is fully Kunri, then there's no room for the Yibum of the second one, like we just said. If you have a regular case of two Gdolos Pikchos that are Yavamis from the same brother, and the Yavam has relations with one of them and then with the other one, nothing happens. The second one doesn't passel the first one. The first one, Yibum, has already been fully accomplished, and the second one is just Nus. So if we were to say over here that it's a Suffolk, whether they're Kanui, then if we said the first one is Kanui, then there's no room for the second one. And if we said that the first one is not Kanui, well, then the second one is not either, but then they're not Saras to each other. So it's clear to Rav Chista that we can't say that both of them are Kanui or Mishyeres, and it's also clear that we can't say that both of them are Saras.
What's the difference between Kanui and Mishyeres?
Kanui or Mishyeres would mean we know for a fact that there's a Kinyan, but there's something left over of that Kinyan. The Kinyan is incomplete. So that would be Knuya Umashiyaras. There's no such thing as Knuya Ve'ena Mashiyaras. Knuya Ve'ena Knuya means that there would be a suffix whether she was Knuya or not. So it's a difference. In other words, Knuya Umashiyaras means we know that there was a Kinyan, but there was something incomplete about that Kinyan. Knuya Ve'ena Knuya means that there's a suffix whether there is even a Kinyan here at all. So now, so Rav Chista knows, as Rashi explained, that it can't be that both of them are Knuya Umashiyaras, because then our Mishnah wouldn't fit. Why is it that if he does Bia with one, it wouldn't pat to the other? They're both on the same level. And why wouldn't we say that it's a Suffolk? Because if it was a Suffolk, then the next Mishnah wouldn't work out, because why would it be that the Bia of the second one passes the first one, when in fact we would say that Mamonafshech, either the first one is fully Knuya and there's no room for the second one, or the first one is not Knuya and the second one isn't either. And in that case, then they're not Saris to one another. So therefore, so it has to be that one of them is Knuya, Ve'ena Knuya, and the other one is Knuya or Mashiach. Which one is which? Rav Chista is saying we're going to derive from what Rav says. We're going to demonstrate that based on what Rav just said about what we do with these two Yavamas, where again Rav had said that you marry the Chershis, divorce her, then you do Chalitza to the Ketana when she gets older. The only way to understand that is by saying that the Chershis has an incomplete kinyan and the Ketana has a suffer kinyan. So the Gemara starts off. The Isakadai Chershis Knuya Ve'ena Knuya, Ketanya Knuya Umshieres. If you were to say the other way around, that the Chershis is the one who has the suffer and the Ketana is the one who has the incomplete kinyan, then we would have to ask Chershis Amai Konus Umotziya Beget. Why would he be required to divorce the Chershis after he does Yibum with her? That he has to do Yibum and not Chalitza, that we understand, because we've already said a Chershis can't do Chalitza. But why shouldn't he be able to, if it was only a matter of a suffix, that the Chershis's marriage to her first husband was a suffix, whether it's a full marriage or not, then why would he need to divorce her with a get? Case of Gabe Mimanafshach. We should be able to stay married to him either way. E Knuyahi ha Knuyahi. If there was a full Kenyan, then good, there's a full Kenyan, and then there's no room for the Bia of the second one or the Chalitza of the second one or anything with the second one to passel him, to passel her. The Elav Knuyahi ha Nochris Balmahi. And if you say that it wasn't a full Kenyan, then she and the Ketana are not Soros to one another. So it can't be that so if we were to say that the marriage of the Chershis is Knuya Ve'ena Knuya, and meanwhile the Ketana we would say is Knuya Umashiyaris, the result would be that once he does Bia with the Chershis, he would be allowed to stay married to her indefinitely, because whatever because one way or the other, however you look at that suffix, we would say that his yibum with her was a full fledged yibum, and nothing can undo that afterwards. V'chitema. So then you're going to ask in that case. In that case, you could ask Tana Amai Tamtin Ajatagul Vatachloitz. In that case, though, you could ask then why, if you understand it that way, then why would the Tana have to wait until she does Chalitza? Why can't he marry her and he'll remain married to her with yibum? And we would say taste of Gabe, and we would say that she could stay by him, because after all, we could use the same argument. E Knuyahi ho Knuyahi. You could argue the other way around. You could argue that, like this, we're trying to derive from Rav's statement that the Chershis is Knuya, or that the Chershis is Knuya or Mashiyeres, and the Ketana is Knuya, that the Ketana is Knuya Ve'ena Knuya. So we said it can't be that the Chershis is Knuya Ve'ena Knuya, because then there wouldn't be a reason for him to have to divorce her. The suffix would, one way or the other, the suffix would take care of that. But you could ask still that if we're saying that the Ketana is Knuya Ve'ena Knuya, that it's a suffix, then why don't we argue the same kind of suffix and say, therefore, that the Ketana should be able to remain married to him? It's what? Mishuyeres means left over. Mishuyeres means left over, means that the Kenyan did not fully take effect. So if you're going to tell me that the Ketana is a suffix, you're telling me that the Chershis is Knuya Umashiyaris, so therefore by elimination, the Ketana has to be the Knuya, the Ena Knuya, as a suffix. Well then, if you argue like that, then why don't we say, so why do we say that the Ketana has to wait until she's a Gdola in order to do Chalitza? Why can't you do Yibum with her when she's younger? And then it'll work the same way. He Knuya, he Ha Knuya, he. If her Kinyan to her first husband was a full Kinyan, then good, it's a full Kinyan, and he's done Yibum with her. He Lav Knuya, he Nukhreisa Ba'almahi. And if not, then she's not related at all, and therefore the Ketana, and therefore the yibum of the Chershis that takes place afterwards isn't going to change anything, because as it is, they're not considered Saris. So why don't we say that? The answer is that Rab is not going to say that that's the solution, because in Kain Chershis b'may tibur. Because then the problem is, what are we going to do in order to help the Chershis? Rav wants to find something that is going to help both the Ketana and the Chershis. Fine, they won't be able to stay married to the Yavam. We can't find a way to do that, but we want at least that both of them should be able to remarry in the future. If we did what the Gemara is just saying over here, that we were to say he does Yibum with the Ketana, then the Chershis is going to be stuck forever. Chalitza, he can't do with her because she's a cheshis. Yibum, he can't do with her because after all, there was a kinyan with her. It was just knuya umshuyaris. So now he can't do yibum with her and pater her that, and then later on give her a get, because once he did yibum with her, tsara, the kana, then he can't do yibum with her.
They're not sisters, but
they're two wives from the same brother. So once he does yibum with one, then the other one is also to him. Now Rashi also adds, which the Gemara is going to say further along, that in our Mishnah, when we said that if Balak Tana b'chazir or Balak Cheshes, next Mishnah rather says that if he did have relations with the Ketana and then with the Cheshes, the result is the Ketana is possible. Based on what we're saying in the Gemara over here, why do we say that? What shouldn't we say that once the Ketana is married to him, then that's it, she's married? The reason is, Rashi says it's true. However, the next Mishnah is, the Gemara is going to be saying soon, that the next Mishnah, the fact that it says the Ketana is posel, is actually because of a gzeva. Because otherwise, what happens if he does have relation with the Chershus first, then the Ketana is off limits to him. So because of that, because the Chershus, we said already, there's a certain Kenyan over there, Knuya Vena, we said Knuya Mishiyaris. So therefore, in order to avoid confusion between the possibility whether he had relations with the Chershus first, where then the Ketana would be possible, versus the Ketana first, where in principle then the Ketana would be fine, because of that, we make a Gzera, and we say that no, the Ketana still becomes possible once he has relations with the Chershus.
But the Ketana wasn't married to him before?
The Ketana was married to the brother, that's the point. There you had one brother that was married to a Ketana and a Chershus.
I think the Ketana was, again, only the Rabban.
Right, but the Chershus is also only the Rabban, and that's what we're dealing with, right? That's what we're saying. There are two different kinds. That's what we're saying. One is Knuyo Mushieris. One of them is an incomplete Kenyan. The other one is a Suffolk Kenyan. And Rav Chista is in the middle of figuring out which one is which. So based on Rab's Psak, that we're saying that the Chershus needs, that the Chershus needs Yibum followed by a Get. There's no, that she can't have Chalitza, that we understand. She's a Chershus. But the fact that he require him to give her a Get rather than just staying married to her is because eventually the Ketana is going to be able to do Chalitza. And once she does Chalitza, then the other one becomes also to her, because once you do Chalitza to one woman from a household, then all the other women of that household become also. You can't do chalitza with the ketana right now because she's a ketana, but eventually when she's a the chershus, you can't do chalitza with her. Period. Oh. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah. So
she's the one who has to say ish.
She is the one who has to say kochi yosel ish. Yeah. Okay. So that's Rav Chista's proof. That it has to be that way. That the ketanas. So again. We know that it can't both of them be Suffolk. We know that it can't both of them be Knuyo Mushieres, because then that wouldn't explain what our Mishnah is saying, that if you do Bia with one, it doesn't pass to the other. If both of them were Knuyo Mushieres, then it should work. Bia with either one should pass to the other one. It can't be that both of them are Suffolk, because again, the next Mishnah says that if you have relations with either one, then and if you have relations with one and then the other, then it passes the first one. If it was a Suffolk, then there wouldn't be a reason to ask for both of them. The first one would be, whichever one was the first one that he had relations with, would be Motir Mamanavshach. When we say Pater, we mean that now she's free to marry anybody else. The Zika is taken care of.
Right. So if she had relation with one of them, the other one can go free, so it's still taken care of.
But our Mishnah is saying that not. Our Mishnah is saying that if you have a Tana and a Chershus and he has relations with one, it does not pass through the other one. And the follow-up Mishnah, which we're going to have at the bottom of this Amud, says that if he does have relations with one and then with the other, then the second one causes the first one to become possible for Yibum. So the only way to understand that is by saying that one of them is one kind of Kenyan, an incomplete Kenyan. The other one is a different kind of Kenyan. It would be complete, but we have a suffix about the nature of that Kenyan, whether there exists a Kenyan at all. And again, if we said that the Chershus, if we said that the Chershus is the one with the suffix, then there'd be no reason for our Mishnah to say that having done Yibum with the Chershus, he has to divorce her, because we use the same Amanafshach and say that he could stay married to her regardless. Either she was fully acquired by his brother, and then there's no room for any other Bia to passel her later on, any more than in the case of two wives who were Gdolus. So that would be one possibility. The other possibility, you would say that she wasn't nikne to his brother in the first place. Well, then in that case, then obviously the bia of somebody else doesn't pass to her. Then it's just a regular marriage that the brother is having with her rather than you. So that shows that it can't be a suffix. It must be with the cherushes. It's knuya umshuyeres, that there was a kinyan. It's just an incomplete kinyan. So therefore, there's room now for the bia of the tana later on to pass to her. Or for the chalitza of Tana to passel her.
But either way, he can't stay married to one of them.
So that's what we're saying. So what we're saying is like this: Rav is saying that he has to marry one of them. He has to marry the chershis later on, divorce her, and do chalitza with the Tana once the Tana becomes a girl. So that way, that helps both of them. Now both of them are free to marry somebody else.
He cannot marry
either one of them. Now, the last thing we were saying is that actually, in theory. In theory, he could marry the Katana and it would work. But the problem with that is, so first of all, the next Mishnah is going to say that, so in principle, he could do that. So there's two considerations, though. Number one is that then the Chershus is stuck. Rav wanted to find something that will help both of them. Another point is, if at some point he were to have relations with the Chershus, then it would pass all the Katana to him. So fine. If he's not planning to do that, if he's not planning to have relations with the Chershus, then there's no problem. Then we don't have to apply that Gzera. Nevertheless, though, the fact is that then we're leaving the Chershus stuck, and we would rather not have to do that if we can help it.
Stuck
because she can't get she still has a zika, so she can't get married to somebody else. She can't do chalitza because she's a Chershus.
Right, but if the Katana gets older and he marries you,
if he marries the Katana, it doesn't matter even if he marries her as a Katana. The point is, though, that she was married to his brother only on a derabanan level, and was saying the Katana was knuya v'ena knuya. It was a suffix.
Right, whether she wait for it to go,
no, because it's still his brother's dead by now. His brother died when she was a Katana. We're not focusing on what the new husband's relationship is with her. We're focusing on what her original husband's relationship was with her. And as a Katana, it was knuya v'ena knuya. That's what we're saying. So Omer of Sheches, Hochi Nami Mistabra. So
why is it a suffix? How can you be a pnuya and not pnuya? Either you're a pnuya or you're not pnuya.
What do you mean?
You cannot be both.
But you have many cases of suffix kedushin. Forget about for a second a Katana over here. You have many cases of suffix kedushin. We're going to learn about them in Masechta Kedushin in a year or so.
No,
now.
No.
Confess to Shem. Well, that's what it is.
You have sakers, but how can you be a pnuya and at the same time be a non-pnuya?
It's not that you're at the same time. It's we don't know which one you are, and therefore we have to be machmir according to both possibilities. So that's what we're saying. Actually, if the Chershus herself was the suffix, then we would say there'd be no reason that the Yavam has to divorce her, because then no matter how we figure out what the two possibilities of that suffix, either way he's allowed to remain legally married to her. Either she was fully married to his brother, and then it's a proper Yavam, and nothing else can override that. Or she wasn't married to his brother, and then fine, he's marrying a woman minashuk. So there's no problem. But when we come to the Katana being a suffix, the result of the suffix on the Katana is that it affects not so much her, it affects her tsara, the chershus, and it makes it therefore that since the chershus herself was knuya umshiyeres, that there's something left over, then that leaves room for the possibility that the Tana was in fact married to him, and then therefore that bia with her passels the or chalitza with her passels the when she gets chalitza with her when she gets older, bia with her now passels the chershus. Yeah.
Passels
the chershus means that she can't do yibum.
No,
because it would be no, because she there still exists the zika on some level.
But let's say the Katana. Let's say even new marriage. If the husband now, the mm-hmm. second husband, marries her, automatically the zika falls off from the.
That's what we're saying. No. If he waits, so no, what we're saying is, it's true that if he marries the Katana, and then eventually she...
Wait till she gets the girl first.
So it doesn't matter. Even we're saying he could marry her as a Katana and wait, and they'll remain married until she becomes a Gola, fine. That works. But then that leaves the Chershus stuck. What we're saying is, because the Chershus had a different kind of marriage, hers was Knuya Umshiyeres, so the Bia of the Katana does not help her, and therefore she remains stuck. When Rav said before, what we have to do, we're trying to find a way that neither one of them ends up stuck. So right now, what you have is the Chershus, meanwhile, is able to marry the Yavam and remain married to him, maybe until at least she's able to remain married to him for a period of time. And when eventually they get divorced, then she's able to go and marry somebody else, because now, as far as she's concerned, the Zika has been taken care of. The Ketana, meanwhile, will also, she has to wait till she's a Gdola to do Chalitza, but once she does, she's also free to marry anybody. So, in other words, we're saying it's true, Rav Chista is saying that Rav could, or Gemara is saying in Rav Chista's name, whatever, that it's true, Rav could have instead given a different solution, which is do Yibum with the Ketana, and then eventually when she becomes a Gdola, then it becomes a full Yibum. The problem with that is that leaves the Chershus stuck.
So what's the solution?
That's what Rav said before. The solution is marry the Chershus, do Yibum with her, that is, divorce her, do Chalitza with the Ketana once she becomes a Gdola. And now, so it's fine, the poor Yavam ends up with neither one of them, but he could all have to go find himself a different Shidduch. But the women at least are both now mutter to go marry somebody else. Yeah.
Isn't there a rule that if Yibum and Chalitza go together, so if you cannot do Chalitza, how can you do Yibum?
So Tosfos talks about that earlier in the Masechta. How is it that this is a basic question on this whole sugya and on everything we've been learning the last couple of days, that if we're saying a Chershus can't do Chalitza, how could she do Yibum? So Tosfos' answer is actually that it's not that when we say she can't do Yibum, it means, what does it mean in other words? She can't do Chalitza. Why is that? Not because she lacks Das, but because she can't say the words. Well, what that means is, in other words, in principle, she is able to do Yibum. In principle, she is able to do Chalitza, rather. It's just, the Gemara uses the expression before, Pumayuhu Dekoivlahu. It's as if like their mouth hurts and therefore they're incapable of saying the words. That's not considered that they're out of the picture as far as Chalitza. When do we say Kol She'ena Olo Yibum, Eina Olo Chalitza, is when there's an impediment to doing Chalitza of a different, or of Yibum, of a different kind, for example, because she's a close relative or something. So then we say, if she's potter from Yibum, because for example, she's an Erba, then she's also potter from Chalitza. Here, it's not so much that she's potter from Chalitza, it's that she's physically incapable of doing Chalitza. Then we don't apply that rule of that then Yibum and Chalitza go together.
How do you know that we don't apply that rule? Where does Tosfos take it from?
That's what Tosfos says, because there's a difference between, that's what Tosfos says. The rule of Kol She'ena Olo Yibum, Eina Olo L'Chalitza, applies only when she's barred from Yibum or from Chalitza for a reason for a structural reason, basically. Here it's not a structural reason. Here it's just a practical reason because she can't say the words. In theory, in other words, if she were all of a sudden to regain the power of speech, that she could do Chalitza. Therefore, it's not considered that she's completely out of the picture as far as Chalitza. All right, let's go on.
Well, then that breaks the rule that when there is no Chalitza, there is no Yibum.
We've been breaking that rule throughout the Masechta. That rule has had probably more exceptions than applications. We've had many, many cases when she needs Chalitza Bisafik because of a Din D'Rabbanan and not D'Oraisa. So yeah, that rule has been honored more in the breach than in the observance as it is. All right, let's go on. Omer Rav Sheshes, Hochi Nami Mistabla. So Rav Sheshes says, in fact, it's logical to accept Rav Chista's analysis and to say that that we learn from Rab that, again, that the Chershus is Ketana, is Knuya Shieres. She has an incomplete Kenyan, and the Ketana has a Suffolk Kenyan. We can prove that in the Hochi Nami Mistabla, could become a Taritz of Chista, Liba de Rab, the way that Rav Chista understands it, according to Rab, we can prove that, Rav Sheshes says, from a different place. Netanya. We learn in a brisa, Shnei Achen Nisuin, Shtei Achoyes Yisoymes Ketana V'Chershus. If two brothers are married to two sisters who are orphans, a Ketana and a Chershus. Now, actually, Rashi points out we don't really need to say orphans. The orphan is only relevant as far as the Ketana. The Chershus obviously doesn't matter whether she's an orphan or not. Her marriage is the Rabbanon for a different reason because she's a Chershus. Anyway, so the Braisa says that if you have two brothers married to a Ketana and a Chershus, so in our Mishnah, we were talking about that one brother was married to both of them, and now the question is what we do as far as Yibum. The Braisa instead is presenting a case where there's two brothers who are each one, one's married to a Ketana, one's married to a Chershus.
But sisters are not sisters.
And they are sisters. Yeah. No, they are sisters. Achoyes, yeah. Mes Baila Shoktana. So if the husband of the Ketana passes away, so now the Ketana is up for Yibum, but again, the other one is married to her brother, the surviving brother is married to her sister. Therefore, Tana Yotze Beget. Sorry, I skipped a couple of lines. Chershis Yotze Beget. The Chershis right away has to be divorced because she's the sister of his skoka. Tana Tamtina Shitagda Batachlitz. Tana has to wait till she gets older, then she does Chalitza. So far, that's similar to our Mishnah. And the Braisa continues, Mes Bailashal Chershis. If the husband of the Chershis passes away, so now the Chershis is up for Yibum, then vice versa. Tana Yotze Beget. He has to divorce, the husband of the Ketana has to divorce her with a get because she's a Chos Sukukasai. No, permanently.
The Chershis, I said, okay, the Ketana is to a get.
No, to give her a get, you can give her a get to the Ketana. A get, remember, doesn't require her das.
Okay.
Doesn't require her consent. Only Chem Deben Gershon requires that, but this is 1,000 years before Chem Deben Gershon. So Ketana Yotze Beget, the Chershis Asura La'olam. The Chershis is going to be Osir forever. And again, why would she be also for him? So the Ketana has to be divorced with a get because again, there's a Zika with her sister, the Chershis, and that, and again, the point is the Ketana is a Suffolk. Is she Knuya or not? So whereas the Chershis is Knuya or Shieres. So therefore the result is that you have a Chos Sukukasa, you have a problem of that his wife is a sister of his Skoka. If the Ketana's marriage had been a full one, no Suffolk, then we would say, Fakir, the Chershis is out of the picture now as far as Chalitza or Yibum because he's married to her sister. But because the Ketana is only a Suffolk, then the result is the Chershis. So the Ketana needs a get. The Chershis is going to be also to marry forever. And again, we have to look at the Suffolk over here.
She can't marry forever. I mean,
the Chershis is in this case, the Chershis is stuck. As long as the Yavam is alive, then there's nothing. Well, if the Yavam passes away, then sure, the Chershis can get married because now there's no more Yavam. But in this case, the Yavam cannot. So in this case, let's consider. The Yavam can't do Chalitza with her, obviously, because she's a Chershis. Because she has a Zika to him. What kind of get? Yeah. So to take care of a Zika, we need either Yibam or Chalitza. Chalitza he can't do because she's a Chershis. We already established that. Yibum he can't do because of the suffix that the Ketana might have already been fully married to his brother. We said the Ketana is a suffix, is Knuya v'ena Knuya. So therefore, if he gave a get to her, she might be his grusha. So the Ketana might be his grusha. Well, you're not allowed to marry the sister of your grusha as long as the Ketana is alive. So and Rashi adds, even if the Ketana afterwards passes away, you still have the problem that at the time of Nefila, at the time when his brother died, she was also to him Bisafik as a Chos Ishtar. So even if later on the Ketana dies, it doesn't, normally we would say that if a man's wife dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. But here, where at the time of Nefila, she was not only his wife's sister, but also his brother's wife, where no Yibum is necessarily possible because of the possibility that she's a Chos Ishtar, then therefore she remains also to him for Yibum as well. And the Braisa continues, the im ba ala chershis. What if the yavam was over and did have relations with the chershis? So after he divorced the ketana, now he had relations with the chershis. So now noisim lo get the hutra. Now he gives the get. Now he gives the chershis a get, and then she becomes mutter to remarry. Why? Because again, we apply the mamon of shech that we said before. Either the ketana was fully married to him. Well, then the other one, then the chershis was potter from chalitza or yibum because she is really a chos ishtar. So therefore, to begin with, she didn't need anything else. There was no zika in the first place. So now when he has relations with her, it's just nuspalma. If the ketana was not connery to him, then there was no impediment to them doing yibum in the first place. So then it's a valid yibum, and like any other valid yibum, afterwards it can be dissolved with a get. Because after they did yibum, after they did the first relation, then she's fully his wife, and then it can then he can give her a get.
But yes.
So he would have to, well, right. So he'd have to give her a get because he can't stay married to her because of the suffix. But when we look at the two sides of the suffix, then we find out that one way or the other, a get, either no get is necessary or a get will help. Unlike before, we would say, so we were saying he shouldn't do that because he's not supposed to be having relations with her because she might be a chos ishtay and she might be eishes achiv and she might be, or she was eishes achiv and you have a possible isur kares over here. Or you have at least one Issur Kares, possibly two. But nevertheless, if he was over and did that, then the fact is we have, no matter how we look at it, it turns out that either no Yibum was necessary which fine, in that case, it really did an Issa Kodesh. Or it means that Yibum was necessary, but now it's dissolved with a get.
So it says Vim Ba'al
HaKharesh. Vim Ba'al HaKharesh, yeah. That would be, so that's the thing. Either it's Yibum, that's really either Yibum. It's Yibum, that's what we're saying. Either it's Yibum or it's Znus. But one way or the other, if it's Znus, then nothing is necessary to dissolve it. Then you don't need a get. But if it was Yibum, yeah, because just in case it was Yibum.
Oh, yeah. It's like a Suffolk Yibum, then
that's
a get.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah.
Now we keep saying this thing with the kind of subject marriage because Rabban made this marriage.
Right.
No, that's the only reason.
That's the only reason. Yeah.
It's not, you couldn't call it a subject.
We're saying that, in other words, that we, the Chachamim tell us to treat it as if it was a subject. That's what Rav Chista is deriving from Rab's statement. So now Rav Sheshes is saying, based on this Braisa, the scenario and the details that the Braisa are giving us of what to do and what not to do would only work out only if we accept Rav Chista's analysis of the situation.
If this town was let's say called something married, but by her brother and mother, then she could.
That's what we're talking about. Where she was married by her mother or her brother. She could do Miyun, and if she does Miyun, then fine, that's a whole different matter. But we're talking about she didn't do Miyun while her husband was alive. Now after her husband is dead, we had a machloikas earlier in our perda. Can she do Miyun after that? Does it take away the Zika, or does it take away even her first marriage to her husband? We had a machloikas from Oshia, and we had a machloikas between Oshia and Ula on that point. But let's say no Miyun was done. Yeah. And anyway, now we're saying she's a Gdoila. Or no, doesn't have to be that she's a Gdola yet. But whatever, the point is that, here we're talking about, like, here it doesn't matter. Here she's still a Tana. Yeah, in principle, she could do Miyun, but right now that's not being done. Right, that's right. Right. Okay. So says Rav Sheshes, if you say, like Rav Chista said, that the Cherushes has an incomplete kinyan with her first husband and the Tana has a suffix kinyan, then Mishum Hochi, then that explains what the Braisa is saying. That explains the end of the Braisa, that if he illegally went and had relations with the Cherushes, then he can give her a get and she becomes mutter. And the reason would be because then, no matter how you look at it, a get is the maximum she needs. If the Ktana was fully Knuya to the first husband, and now by Yibum to the second, to the brother, Hanafka Meshumachoy Sisha. Automatically, then the Cherushes is Potter from Chalitza or Yibum because she's his brother's wife. E Lav Knuya, and if the Ktana is not Knuya to her husband, sorry, I said it wrongly. You were talking about two husbands and two wives. So the Ktana, is she fully Konui to Shimon, or is she not? So if she is, then automatically the Cherushes achoyis ishtoi, and that's it. She's potter. E lav knuya, and if the Tana is not fully knuya to her husband Shimon, shapa miyabim, then he's perfectly allowed to do yibum, because then in that case, then the Cherushes is not achoyis ishtoi. So that's why one, no matter how we look at it, a get would work. But if you were to argue the other way around, now again, we established at the beginning of the sugya that it can't be that both of them are knuya v'ein knuya, and it can't be that both of them are knuya v'mushiyeres. It has to be that one is one and one is the other. So Rav Sheshes says, I'll prove to you from this braisa that we just said that it cannot be the opposite of what Rav Chista said. If you said Cherushes is the suffix and Ktana is incomplete, then Kibar Cherushes, Amai Noisin Get Bahutra. How could you say that if then he has relation with the Cherushes, then giving her a get would be Matur? Havila Bia Psula. In that case, it would be a Bia, which is a Bia, which itself is possible, meaning we've learned earlier in the Masechta, you have Bia Ma'ula or Bia Kshera or whatever it was called, which means the regular case where a Yavam does Yibum and it fully satisfies the Zika and there's no problem. And afterwards, she's fully his wife, and if they want to get divorced, then if they want to separate, then it would be with a get as usual. But then you also have Bia Psula, which does not fully satisfy the Zika, and she ends up needing both a get and Chalitza. Now over here, if you said that the Ktana has the incomplete Kinyan and the Cherushes has the Suffolk Kinyan, then if he has relations with the Ktana, where now that takes care of her partial Kinyan and then he has relations with the Cherushes, which is a Suffolk. So now we have to consider the two sides of the Suffolk. One possibility is that she that it was a bia psula because he already had bia with her tzara. If we say that the tzara, if we say that the tana, we say that tana might or might not be her tzara. So then the result is she'd need a get as well as chalitza, and but being a cherish, she can't have chalitza. And the braisa is telling us a get is good enough. So therefore, so ki ba cherishes amayin noisin get for hutra. How could you say, if you were to say that, that if he has relations with the cherishes, he can give a get and then she becomes mutter, havile bia psula. That would be a bia psula or bia psula like patra. It doesn't fully patra her. She needs a get as well as chalitza. So there, and yet the braisa is saying over here that a get is enough, showing therefore that it must be because her kinyan is in fact the one that's knuyo umushiyeras. And the katanas is the one that's the suffix. And therefore, when we consider the two sides of the suffix with the katana, either the katana was his wife or the katana was not his wife. And one way or the other, that takes care, but either way, fully. And therefore, that takes care of the cheshes. However, the Gemara says that's not proof that Rav Sheshes is bringing is not a solid proof because you could argue, homani Rav Nechemye. Because you could argue that this braisa that Rav Sheshes just quoted is according to Rav Nechemya, Dama Bia Psula Pateras Mechalitza. He says that a Bia Psula does pater from Chalitza. He doesn't hold of this concept that a Bia Psula requires a get as well as Chalitza. He holds Chalitza is enough. Well, then all braisa could be. A get is enough. A get is enough. So therefore, our braisa would be talking about that. Yes, it's a Bia Psula. Nevertheless, according to Rav Nechemya, a get is enough. However, the Gemara says, no, Rav Nechemya, if you're going to try to say that Rav Sheshes' braisa is like Rav Nechemya, doesn't work. Ema sefer, because look at the next part of the braisa, it continues, Mishoy nosi shtei sermis kanes v'cherches. If he was married to two the braisa continued. If he's married to two yisomas tana and cherushes, well, okay, we said the tana is a yisoma, the cherushes doesn't have to be. But whatever, he's married to the two of them, Umes, and he dies. And here we're not talking about that the two of them are sisters necessarily. They're two women from one bais. So you can only do it with one or the other. So ba yavam alaktana b'chazir or ba alachemshes. If then the yavam has relations with if the yavam has relations with the tana and then with the cherches, this is the next mission at the bottom of the yavam. Oshiba ochiv ala cherches, or if his brother, after he had relations with the tana, his brother, another brother, Levi, goes and has relations with the cherches. We're also keep in mind that if any of the brothers has relations with one of the yavamas, then it passes all the other ones to. In the normal case, one of the brothers does yibum with all of them, and all of them now are free to marry, but they're all also to marry any of the brothers. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the Machlokes, Rabbi Yechon, and Rish Lakish, whether the other brothers are going to be over on Isur Lav or Isur Kares if they marry one of these women. Here again, because they're sisters, because they're all tzores, because they're all from Bais Echon. They're all married to the same husband. In this case, again, we're talking about Tana and Acherches, but the same idea. If Reuven was married to both of them, Tana and Acherches, Reuven dies, Shimon has relations with the Tana, and then Levi were to have relations with the Cherushes, so if either Shimon did the Ketana and then the Cherushes, or Shimon does the Ketana and Levi the Cherushes, either way, Nes or Shtei and Olav, either way, both women become also to him because of the problem of Bais Echad, that you can only marry one woman from the family. Okay.
I'm going to go into the first one. If Levi was the first one, whichever.
Well, that's what we're going to say. That's what we're going to say. That you can't because again, we're talking one of them is Suffolk and the other one is Knuy or Mishieres. So wait, Kate said Takanosan. So how do we fix up the situation? Cherushes yotzes beget. The cherushes needs a get from the one who did be with her. Uktana tamtin nashatagdo v'tachlit. The ktana has to wait till she gets older and then she does chalitza. Now, the Gemara says, "I am." If you say again, like Rav Chista said before, the Cherushes is an incomplete kinyan. The Ketana is, it would be complete, but there's only one possibility. The other possibility is it's either complete or it's nothing. So the Ketana, in other words, all throughout the Sugya, we're saying Knuya ve'ena Knuya means it's a 50% thing. It's a 50% thing. She's 50% married to the guy. Knuya ve'ena knuya means it's either 0 or 100, but nothing in between. So if you say like that, like the way Rav Chista said it, and the Rabbanan, and you were to say that this braisa goes according to the Chachamim, That explains why do we say that she has to do chalitza? Why don't we say that he can marry the that? Why don't we say that he can marry the ketana and that takes care of it? Because of the mon of shech we said before, either the ketana is married to him and then the cherushes doesn't need anything, and then the cherushes is and then the cherushes is mutter to the one who did bia to her, or the ketana was married to him and then having relations with the cherushes is only znus and nothing is necessary to undo that. The reason we would say is because of a gzeira, the duma kodim a boil cherushes bereisha b'havila bia the ketana bia psula. Because it might easily be confused. Yes, you could do bia with the ketana first, and that would work, but the problem is that might easily be confused with the case where you do bia with the cherushes first, and the cherushes being knuyo or mashieres, the result is that the bia with the ketana afterwards, the bia psula, which does not fully satisfy the zikr. It doesn't have something happen in Beis Din.
And Beis Din said, okay, fine.
No, Beis Din, no. Yavam doesn't necessarily. You have to have witnesses. You don't necessarily have to have a Beis Din.
The witnesses
may not know, yeah. So we could say that would be the reason why we would say that even if he had relations with the Tana first, we would still say that the relations with the Cherishas afterwards create problems because of this Gzera. But if you were to say that this braisa goes according to the Nechemia, what's the problem? So what if the bia of the ketana is a bia psula? According to him, a bia psula also patters and makes a full yibum. So according to him, there'd be no reason to make such a gzera. So obviously, if the braisa is implying that there is such a gzera, can only be according to the chachamim. And if it's according to the chachamim, who disagree and say that a bia psula requires a get and chalitza, and yet we're saying in the earlier case where it's enough to give the cherushes a get, that can only work out only if we say that the bia of the cherushes, that there's no possibility of it being a bia psula. It's either a bia kshena, it's either a bia gemura, or it's just plain znus. There's no possibility of it being something in between a chalitza psula. That would be a point that we're saying, according to the chachamim. And that would bear out Rav Chista's analysis. Because if we said that the ketana was the 50% one, then that leaves room for the bia of the cherushes to be a bia psula. Only if we say that the ketana is either 0 or 100, well then, if she's 100, then the yibum with her was valid yibum, and the cherushes is just nus. If you say that it was 0, then the cherushes can do yibum to begin with, because then the brother was married only to the cherushes. So therefore, that would explain why a get is enough, because you may not even need a get. It might have been znus with the cherushes, but the maximum you would need as a get is if it was a valid yibum. So that can only work out according to the chachamim, because according to the Nechemia, there'd be no reason to make a gzera to say that the ketana becomes also as a result of relations with the cherushes, because according to him, so what? It's a bia psula. A bia psula is also a full yibum according to him. So ela shmamin or rabbanan. So obviously, therefore, the brayis has to go according to the chachamim. Shmamina, so that proves it, and therefore that proves Rav Sheshis. So therefore, Rav Sheshis's proof is a valid proof. Now, Omer Rav Ashi, Mereisha Nami Shmamina Drabongi. Actually, you don't even need to look at the Sefer of the Braisa, says Rav Ashi, to know that it's according to the Chachamim and not according to Rav Nachman. Dechatani, because the Braisa had said, he said that if he had relations with the Cherushes and he gave her a get, then the result is he has to give her a get, she becomes mutter. It doesn't say that if he had relations with the Ketana, then he gives her a get and that's enough. So therefore, in other words, the Reisha of the Braisa, which is talking about where the two of them are sisters, would also show that this is only according to the Chachamim. Because we said, if he has relations with the Cherushes, we said he gives her a get. When it says, on the other hand, when the husband of the ketana passed away, it says she has to wait. It doesn't say that the same thing. If he's over and has relations with her, then he gives her a get. So why doesn't she have a get? Because again, it would be a bia psula. Because the cherushes is a partial thing. The cherushes is a 50% thing, and therefore, so the ketana is also as a chos isha. But on the other hand, the ketana is knuya ve'ena knuya, and if we say that it was a full kinyan, then the half kinyan of her sister doesn't pater her, and therefore the result is she need get the chalitza. The fact that the braisa doesn't say that shows that also what Rav Chista is saying. You don't need to look at the end of the braisa to know that it can't work pointed at Nechemia.
If he has relations with the ketana and then later give her a get, that doesn't allow anything. The harasha is takua.
No, that's something else we said. What we're saying over here is we said that if the ketana, that we said that if that that if the ketana's husband passes away, right, we said that we said she has to wait and eventually she'll have chalitza. We don't say now he's already married to her sister, the chershus. We don't say though that if he has relations with the ketana, then he gives her a get. So why doesn't he give her a get? Because again, he's married to the chershus, a 50% thing, therefore it's a bia psula with the ketana, and a bia psula requires get and chalitza. So the fact that the Braisa doesn't say that, if the Braisa had said no sin will get, then it would work according to the Nechemia. The fact that it doesn't mention that possibility shows it's not according to the Nechemia. However, the Gemara said, imi shum ho lo yuya, that's not really a solid proof. Chershis, the less the takanta, that teira, katani, takanta di soda. Because the Braisa is telling us like this, with the Chershis, when the two of them are sisters, there's no way beheter of making her mutter. Because we said before, she's going to remain stuck. Because we said chalitza, we can't do with her. Yibum with her is not an option because he's already married to her sister, and therefore that and with her sister, it's a suffix whether he's married to her or not. So it's a suffix whether she's a chos ishay. So therefore, we said she ends up getting stuck unless we said if he was over and had relations with her, then we said that he gives her a get and she's mukta manusha because there's no way to be matter her in a way that's fully beheter. So therefore, the braisa had no choice but to mention a method that's also. On the other hand, the ketana, there's a way of making her mutter without being over on anything, namely wait till she gets older and give her chalitza. Therefore, the braisa didn't have to mention, it's true, there would have been another method, namely that he has relations with her and afterwards gives her a get. But we prefer not to do that because after all, it is also, because after all, he's also married to her sister, the chershus. So therefore, we're not going to mention a method that's osir, where instead we can mention a method that's mutter. Only when it comes to the chershus, because there's no way of doing something that doesn't involve infringing on one or another halacha, therefore the braisa mentions the b'dievet if they did that. But the fact that the braisa doesn't say a method that could have been used with the ketana that involves an isur doesn't show that the tana of the braisa doesn't hold that. It could be the tana of the braisa as Rav Nechemia, and it would work according to him. But he doesn't want to mention it because why should he when there's a perfectly heter way available? So that's what the Gemara says. The proof that the braisa is not according to Rav Nechemia has to come from the sefer, as the Gemara discussed a few lines earlier. Because otherwise the relations with the chershis are relations with the ketana, rather, if he does the ketana after the chershis, that would be a bia psula, and according to the Nechemia, that wouldn't be a problem. Only according to the chachamim is it a problem. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah says, Mishoy Nosu the Shte Yisoimus Kanas. If a man was married to two Yisoimus Kanas, so here both of them are Kanas, both of them is the same level, the Rabbanon, Umes, he dies, Uva Yavam al Rishon of Chazer Uva al Ashnia, and the Yavam has relations with the first one and then with the second one, Oshaba Ochiv al Ashnia. Yeah, they're sisters. No, they're not sisters, sorry. They're not sisters. They're just two Yisoimus from two different families. Yeah. So if the Yavam has relations with the first one and then with the second one, or his brother Levi has relations with the second one, Lloyd Possible Sarashina, he doesn't thereby possible the first one because they're both on the same level. As we said before, they're both suffic. So then, so if the first one was fully connery to him, then the second one is only Znus. And if the first one was not connery, then neither of them is related to the other. So therefore he's allowed to do Yavam with the other one. So either way, he's allowed to stay. So it's not that the second one can't, because the second one might have that the second brother or the second Yavama, you might have the first Yavama was maybe fully Konui, and therefore you have the problem of Asher LaYivna, that you're not allowed to marry two wives from the same family. But the first one is Manafshach, either way, you can stay married to her.
He does Yavavim and Shtek with two...
No, you're not supposed to do Yavavim with two wives. No, so what we're saying is, so you have like, there was Reuven, was married to two Yisoimus. Right. Reuven died. Now there's two possibilities. Shimon had Bia with one of them and then with the other, or Shimon did with one and then Levi with the other. Either way, we're saying Shimon is allowed to remain married to the first one. Because Mamanafshech, either way, either she was fully married to Reuben, in that case it was proper Yibum, and the fact that he had relations with Sarah afterwards is just, or he or his brother had relations with Sarah is just Zinus, it doesn't undo the effect of the Yibum, or she wasn't fully married, or she wasn't married to him at all, it was a zero, well then the other one is also a zero, so then in that case they're perfectly allowed to get married. She was never married, he was never legally married to his brother.
He'd be married to 20. Either one.
So no, that's what we're saying, only the first one. Once he marries the first one, now there's the possibility that she was in fact married to his brother, and therefore that the second one also was, and now you have the problem of Bai Sachar Uboina, you can't marry two wives from the same family. So the second one he would have to divorce, but the first one he can stay married to. The mission continues, V'chein Beis Chershes. The same thing would apply if the two women are two Chershes, same idea, because the two Chershes, we said again, are on the same level. But Ktana v'Chershes, what if one is a Ktana and the other one is a Chershes? So now, we said now you have complications. But Yavam al Ktana v'Chazir v'Al Chershes. So now, if Shimon has relations with the Ktana and then with the Chershes, Oishabo Ochiv al Chershes, or his brother Levi has relations with the Chershes, either way, Pasal as a Ktana, he passels the Ktana for the reason that we learned on Omer Aleph, because of the Gzeira. It's true in principle we shouldn't have said the Ktana becomes possible, because we would say that either way her marriage is valid. Either she was fully kanui to the first husband and therefore nothing else can undo that afterwards, or she wasn't and therefore relations with somebody else is not going to pass her. But again, we make the Gzeira, as we said on Oman Aleph, that we say the problem is, what if he has relations with the Chershes and then with the Ktana, where then the Ktana is a Bia Psula, and we don't want that. A Bia Psula is not going to fully satisfy the Zika. She needs a Get and Chalitza, and therefore we're going to make that Zeta. Now, on the side of it here, it brings that a number of Rishonim have a Girsa Loi Pasala Saktana, that he does not pass on her, because those Rishonim hold that our Mishnah is disagreeing with the Gemara before, mentioning about with the Braisa that we brought on Amud Aleph, that implies that there is such a Gzeira. Our Mishnah would hold there's no such Gzeira. A Mishnah can be stronger than a Braisa. The truth is, actually, at the end of the Mishnah, we're going to say, at the end of the Mishnah, we're going to talk about something about Melamdin Aktana Shetamayin, right? And we're going to talk about what that means, when that applies to. But yeah, so anyway.
Is the Habba Minish, she puzzles a Ktana, the puzzle of a Ktana is because she's Knuya alo Knuya.
Right, that's what we were saying before. So therefore, so the Girsa puzzle of a Ktana that we have in front of us would be that she's puzzled because of the Gzeira, the Rabbana. Because what if he has relations with the Chershes and then with her, then the result is to be a Psula. According to the Girsa, loy puzzle means our Mishnah is disagreeing with that Braisa and saying there's no such Gzeira. Given that she was Knuya, but ain't a Knuya, then fine. If she was Knuya, then there's no room for relations with another woman to pass over. And if she wasn't Knuya, then no problem. What if the Yavam had relations with the Chershes and then with the Tana, or his brother with the Tana, then possible as a Chershes, then he does pass over the Chershes, and that everybody would agree to. Because that we said before, the Chershes was Knuya or Meshuyeres, so therefore the result is that now we have, there's room for the Bia with the Ktana to pass all the Chershes.
Is there room that he can give her the Chershes a get?
After the Chershes he can give her, the Chershes he gives a get, yeah. But the Chershes he would have to give a get, yeah.
Because of suffering.
Because of, yeah, right. What happens now if the two wives are ones that are one? Oh, sorry, I skipped a few words. Pikachas v'cherches. If the two wives, one's a pikachas, a normal adult woman, and the other one is a cherches, then bo yavam al pikachas v'chazir uval cherches. If he has relations with the pikachas and then with the cherches, oisha bo ochem al cherches, or his brother did with the cherches. Either way, loy possible as a pikachas. He's not passing the Pekachas, because the Pekachas' marriage to her husband was definitely 100%. There's no suffix in it. So therefore, again, relations with her tzara is not going to be a problem, because fine, her tzara was only Knuyo Mishieres. It's only a partial kinyan. That's not enough to override the full kinyan that the Pekachas had with her husband. So therefore, in effect, it's just nus. Yeah.
Even though they were married
to the same man, right? But one, think of it in a regular case. Forget about a cherches for a second. If there were two pikchos married to one man, and the yavam has relations with one, and then he has relations with the other, does that pass the first one? No, it's just ein acha bia klum. We learned earlier in the masechta. Once there's a fully bia ksheira, then nothing else can override that afterwards, right? On the other hand. But if the Yavam has relations with the Chershes and then the Pekachas, or his brother with the Pekachas, same thing. possible. It's a chershis. The result is he passes the chershis because, again, it's a kinyan meshuya. It's knuya meshuyeres. So therefore, there's room now after the beer with her did not the beer with her did not fully there wasn't a full kinyan between her and her first husband. Therefore, there's not a full yibum between her and the brother. And therefore, the result is that relations with the gdola, with the bikachas, are going to override that, and they're going to make her also. Gdoila uktana. Similarly, if the two wives were, one was an adult, one was a ktana, ba yav malak gdoila v'chazer v'alak ktana, oisha ba'ach v'alak ktana, like posel as a gdoila, same reason, the gdoila has a full marriage, ktana is only a suffix, ba yav malak ktana v'chazer v'alak gdoila, oisha ba'ach v'alak gdoila, posel as a ktana, then he would pass it a ktana, because the ktana is only a suffix and the gdoila is a vada. Rabbi Loza Oimer Malamdin Aktana Shetamayin Boy. Rabbi Loza says that we tell the Aktana to do Miun, and that way it undoes her marriage, and that way he'll be able to stay married to the first one. So the Gemara says, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Loza, and that's the Halacha. B'chein Amr Rabbi Loza Halacha Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza the Amora says that the Halacha is like Rabbi Loza the Tana. Rabbi Loza the Amora is Rabbi Loza ben Kedos. Rabbi Loza the Tana is Rabbi Loza ben Shmuel. Now, we learned previously, we had a previous Mishnah and Daf Kuf Tes that also said that the halacha is like Rabbi Lazo that Malam and Aktana should mind by. So why do we need both? So the Gemara says it's Richa. We need both statements. De'i itma baha, if we only have the statement over here, baha kamaisa, the original one on Daf Kuf Tes, you would say, bahach kamashmo, halacha kerab liyazer, mishum belekayim mitzvah yibum. Because in the earlier case, we had a case of two sisters where no yibum has been performed yet. So we would say, tell the Ketana to do Miyun to make it possible for her older sister to do Yibum. So no Yibum has actually been done yet. Therefore, we would say that we want her to do Miyun, even though normally we try to stay away from Miyun. Aval Bahadi, Kayim Mitzvah Yibum. Here, Yibum has been accomplished, because after all, he did have relations with one and then with the other. So maybe we should say that we don't tell her to do Miyun. Maybe both of them should be required to be divorced for the get. But the Yibum's already been done. The Iyashmin and Baha, on the other hand, if you say it only in our Mishnah, you would say Mishum Gdola Ram Yakame, because in our case of our Mishnah, the Gdola is after all up for Yibum. In the previous Mishnah, she's not necessarily, because if we were to say that Tana is married to him, then the sister is anyway potter from Yibum because he's a Chos Ishtar. So there in our Mishnah, she is up for Yibum. So therefore, both of them, the Ketana and the Gdola, are up for Yibum to begin with, after all. Avo Idoch Loi, but in that case, she's not necessarily even up for Yibum, because we could pat to her as a Chos Ishtoi. Tzricha, so therefore we need to be told the halachas like Rabbi Lazar in both cases. Now, a number of Rishonim learn that when Rabbi Lazar is saying Malam the Ketana Shetamayin Boi, doesn't mean only in the last case of the Mishnah. It means in every case of the Mishnah that we're dealing over here, when there's a Ketana involved, a Ketana and a Chershes, for example. So according to that, it would come out that in many of the cases, we wouldn't necessarily say what we're saying in the Mishnah, Posilus Tana or Posilus Achershis. In many of those cases, we would say she could do Miun, and we learned before, Rav Oshia would say that it undoes that it doesn't undo her marriage to her first husband, but it does undo the requirement of Zika with the Yavam. Or we said Ula would say it even undoes her first marriage, considered as though she was never married in the first place. And therefore, the result would be that actually, that the Achershis might be able to stay married or that the Chershis might be able to stay married, or that at most that she would need a get, or at most that she would need a get.
This kind of only helped if it was the brother or mother that did the marriage, or if the father did.
If the father married her off, then there's nothing to talk about. Whenever we say a Ketana in this connection, it always means a Ketana who was married did a bonum, meaning not by her father.
Even though it is a
Ketana. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Everyone. Wow. That